feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
Hi.
Hey, George.
Hey. You like my sleeves? Look how visible I am, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, on a snowy day like this, you have to make sure that you're out there invisible. You don't want anything? I don't know.
Anything.
Wow. I've been drinking you since 8:30 this morning.
For those listening at home now in the show, we are recording this at noon. This is a noon show.
You're all going to hear this on hammered. Monday morning and be like, what is life? But yeah, we decided to try out our best alcohols, which I mean, the stuff we were gifted that we thought we'd never go through.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So yeah, Meg was gifted a bucket of those like airplane shooters, but all of Fireball.
Oh.
So we've been doing our best to find ways to use that.
You don't have to. You're not 20 anymore.
No, that's the same thing my brother said when I showed him, but whatever.
Me and your
sometimes you just got to deal with it. I'm not going anywhere. But we're not doing this by ourselves. We have other people with us to kind of soak up the booziness of me and deal with you.
That's fair.
There's not a better person to do it, I don't think. We have Keen Cobb. Keen, welcome. Cobb.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Wish I had the memo of what alcohols to bring. I'm just sitting here high as fuck. So here we go.
There you go. That's fine. Good for you. I
don't think I would recommend this drink of Fireball mixed with butterscotch moonshine, which is a very difficult thing for me to say right now.
Butterscotch is getting all clogged up in your throat right now.
I'm feeling a little tacky. Yeah.
The butterscotch moonshine. Here we go. Damn it.
I have a lisp in general. Trying to say that with butterscotch in my mouth is very difficult.
Oh my God.
But
no,
I will say it is way better than you think it would be.
That's two alcohols. I'm sorry. If you mix two alcohols together and there's nothing just to like cut it at all, that's what they use to clean combs at the barbershop. Like that is not a drinkable substance.
I cut it with my eggs for breakfast today. That's it. That's the only other thing I've had. We started with a hot toddy and we're like, nah, we're going nuts now.
We usually don't have a follow-up episode, but do you want to go back at like 8 p.m
Oh yeah, you want to? Now, for the listeners, that would be really fun because this is episode 99. Episode 100, we've already recorded. So it would be 2 weeks before they heard how Dan feels the night after.
It's going to be good. So before we got recording, we were talking about something that is near and dear to my heart. And I just want to, open up the question again while people are on the recording. What X-Men are you? Roundtable question.
Oh, that's a
wow.
Because if you're talking favorite, I can do favorite.
There's
fast,
one but... wrong answer too. By the way,
I got an idea of what your wrong answer is, but I don't think I'm gonna go there. I think can I be a combination? Because I think I'm a healthy combination.
And
Dan will agree with this. I feel like I'm a combination of Beast and Wolverine.
Cool. I like that combo.
Beast in that I always see Keen upside down, and then Wolverine in that he's just angry all the time.
I mean, he's currently wearing a big blue hoodie, so it works. Beast works.
I mean, look.
I almost texted you because you were running a couple minutes late, and I was like, if you have a blue hoodie, you should show up in it.
Yo, I have one. It's more of a navy, and the company that I started working for recently gave it to me because they wanted to take like a group photo of everyone in it, and so they bought us all hoodies.
He's one of us now.
But it's a German company, so the size is German sizes. This is an XL, and it is like a skin tight XL.
Wow. Germany is just fat shaming America.
They really are. Yowch. I get complaints from dealers. We're like, can you please send us like actual sized clothing, please? All right, Dan, X-Men, so, what are you feeling? What are you feeling?
Because part of me wants to say, is it Colossus, the Russian guy?
Yeah.
Because like the shell of him, and like that's when the strength comes out, is when he's like the shell goes up, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm also not strong at all, so like I can't match that side of it. So it's a.
Oh, this I feel isn't like something that like you identify. It's just who you want. This is who you want.
Oh, who? Like, yeah, then I'm sticking with that one. He's the best.
Yeah,
that dude.
That's
rules.
The right answer. I realized a couple months ago that it would be I want to be Kitty Pryde, not for any like cool, mischievous or like helpful reasons. It's just that I am lazy, and the fact that like opening doors or like the quickest point is between two points, like just a straight line. That's what I need in my life. Like, oh, I need to get something in the room. I don't got time. We're going left. You know, we're not going through the pathway.
I kind of agree with that, and that kind of makes me want to go Nightcrawler, because I could just bamf my way to like anything.
That'd be cool. Oh, you know what? You know, it's another one that I think would be fun for comedy purposes. If I was a comedian, X-Men, I'd be Morph.
Oh.
Murph,
be like an impressionist.
Morph was hacked, dude.
Yes, he was, but
he was such a piece of shit. Yeah, Morph was terrible. I mean, not a bad power, just a bad dude. Dude sucked.
Yo, I wish that I had a ringtone, if ringtones were still a thing, that it would just be Wolverine.
His laugh.
Oh. Not even the laugh. It's just Wolverine going, Morph. Does you have a call? Morph. That's what I want. Does anyone want to factor guess what the wrong answer is?
Oh, Cyclops.
Wrong answer is Cyclops. If you are if you say your favorite X-Men is Cyclops, you're a cop, and I stand by that.
Dude, growing up, I loved Cyclops, bro. And yeah. I never understood the hate. He was a good leader. He's a jerk.
I found out that he was like this like emotionally stunted dude in a bad relationship that I was like, oh, I kind of get why adults like, this dude kind of sucks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love the power. The power rules.
If you go off power, it's fine. He's great, but why do you need a bandolier? Why do you need a bandolier and belt combo?
You find a good way to keep your communication fucking thing higher than your waist. All right, everybody else is.
That man had a lot of responsibility. I don't fault him for the costume.
Did he ever like whip out a gadget? I've never seen him, at least in the TV series, whip out a gadget from his bandolier. Is just like, this is aesthetics. It's like, dude, it's like when Nick Cannon wore a fucking bulletproof vest because he started working with Suge Knight. That is this. It's the same thing.
Look, man, he was the team captain, so he probably had like fucking apple slices, fucking orange wedges.
Yeah, you gotta have the orange wedges for halftime of the battle.
Come on, man.
All right,
that dude had a lot of responsibilities. Like, I don't fault him for his personality. He had a lot on his plate because a lot of those people sucked. They were just on the team because they had powers, not because they made up a good team. Like, they're the current Lakers. Like,
they were the 2004 Lakers. They just threw them together and just said, fuck it.
Yeah, one of these people is Karl Malone, and you just have to deal with it.
All right, before we go any more deeper into X-Men crossover sports talk, why don't we get our new intern, Pete Ickenroth, in here to spin this wheel. Pete!
We got welcome.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Keen, what makes you feel welcome?
It's gonna sound like a dumb answer, but like a good handshake makes me feel welcome.
Sure.
Yeah,
I get that.
What defines a good handshake to you? What do you look for? Because I know there's like the businessman world good handshake,
yeah,
like in a social setting, what is a good handshake?
a good handshake is respectable. It's a firm grip. Yeah, because like the douchebag handshake, or there's a few different douchebag handshakes. One of them is like a guy who's trying to impose himself, impose his will onto you by squeezing too hard, or trying to hurt your knuckles.
I can even see it in your body language. It's that shoulder forward of like,
because they want to make it look like they're that,
like, I'm on top of you. Like, mm-hmm. I am dominating this handshake. And like, even if they have like the weakest grip, like they're still putting out like, I'm the man here energy. And it's like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to talk about him on the show, but like the Trump handshake where he like fucking shakes the whole body and pulls you in as close as possible, despite the man being terrible. That's the worst handshake.
Oh, that's a great boss handshake, though. That is an I'm the boss handshake.
Yeah, if you got something, like if you're a boss and you're congratulating like the sales team for doing really well, then yeah, you pull over the sales team. Yeah, fuck yeah, bud, good for you. That I get, because that's welcoming. That's like I'm so happy with you, for you, thank you handshake of like excitement. If you're just like, put her there, champ, and then you rip the man's arm off, yeah, that's fucked up.
But Dan, one handshake I did learn. It wasn't welcoming at the time, but I understood later. I learned the rich guy handshake, or the rich guy bro hug, I should say. Okay. I was outside of Raven one night. That's how every story starts. And out of nowhere, Lou Williams was out there talking to somebody.
Is this like Philly era, or is he just like there?
No, this was like 2013, 14. So he might have been with like the Raptors or something, or the Hawks. So he's out there doing something. And I was like, oh shit, Lou Will, blah, blah, blah. And I had
I want to pause you real quick. George, who do you think that is?
Sportman. That a Sportman? He was on a Raptor. So maybe he was on that, what was that land that the X-Men got all the powers taken away from? Where is that? Is he from there?
I wish I could pull that right now.
I can't remember.
They all got collars on.
Was it Mr. Sensel?
Mr. Sinister, like, helped him run it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the Badlands. What was it?
It's something lands.
I don't even know how to Google it to.
But
to
he's from there because of Raptors, right? That man went there.
Yeah. Yes. He's one in the long line of not great Sixers who became like all time greats for other teams.
One of the best bench players ever. He's like a 3-time six man of the year. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Kind of like what's his name's dad that played for the Phillies?
Yes.
Yes.
Who's McCollit? Who's McCollit Jr.?
The
guy. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Fanatic. That's what.
Just like the Fanatic, baby. Yeah,
the 2021 Fanatic, not the guy who's coming back this year. The bench player Fanatic that we had last year.
Okay.
But anyway,
thank you for catching me up.
Yes.
All right. So the bro hug, as everyone knows, you take your dominant hand, primarily usually your right. I haven't seen a left-handed bro hug. Maybe it's out there.
No, I haven't either. Yeah.
So you take your right hand all the way back, and you bring it in. You claps up. Once you claps up, you bring it in tight to make sure, like, you know, hey, bro, this is for you, you know, bro.
Yeah.
The rich guy bro handshake all the way up, claps, pull, stop. You bring him in like right here. Keep the space.
So it's like body. That like Carl Weathers, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Predator handshake.
Yeah. Where it's like it's close enough to keep everything safe. Yeah.
I wonder if that's like taught. If that's like they go to those classes of like, here's how you manage your money and here's how you shake hands. Yeah.
And Keen has been shaking hands outside of his pay grade ever since.
People talking about rubbing elbows with the rich. What? I'm rubbing forearms. Come on now.
Yeah, that's all they allow.
That's all they allow. That's how they got their money. Forearms.
And as they pull you in and they smell the pore on you, they go, "Don't look at me."
Yeah, I like to think that they would continue to the chest if you smelled more rich.
Yes.
What is that, money?
One of us. Yes.
So is that the best handshake you've ever had because it was a famous person?
No. It's gonna sound like a piece of shit, but no. The best handshake, and people will judge me when I say this. You ever heard of the comedian Clayton English?
Yeah, that dude rules.
Best handshake ever. That man has like the softest hands. It makes no fucking sense. He was in. He was at Helium, like a few years ago. Met him. Cool as fuck. He's like, "Hey man, what's going on? How's it going, brother?" I did the handshake, and I took my hand back. I was like, "Was that a cloud? What the fuck?" it was just ridiculous.
Last Comic Standing. Is that the show? He was on one of those shows. I was gonna say that's that Last Comic Standing.
He was just on. He was just on Marvel. He was on fuck was it? Hawkeye. He was in the Hawkeye series on Disney Plus.
I haven't caught up all the way to that one yet. Oh,
well, I finished that one.
Now I'm looking out for him. That's awesome.
Hold on, let me see who he was.
Pause for IMDb.
Pause for research.
I can't wait to see George's face. He's like, "Oh shit."
Yeah, the cop. No, the fireman. He was a fireman in it.
Oh, okay. Now I know what to look for.
Yeah, he's I won't give it away, but he's like, he's what I wish cops and firemen were.
That's a good assessment, actually. That's really good.
It's like, that's like, as soon as that came up on the show, I was like, oh, this is an interesting angle. I support these police officers. I back this group.
Now, not knowing specifically what you're talking about, I feel like Marvel has made such a point of being like, no, these cops are actually good anytime they have to show cops.
Oh, so what's his name? Has anyone seen the video of, what is his real name? Jimmy Woo is the character from WandaVision. But him freestyling?
No.
With like clipping?
No.
What?
I'll pull it up. And he's good. He like goes into a cipher and is very good. And everyone behind him are like, what the fuck? Hold on, maybe we can play a clip of it in the show. Dan, I'm going to send this to you.
It's Randall Park.
Randall Park. That's his name.
Totally forgot he was on that show, but he was also the person I was the most excited to see on that show. Like when he showed up, I was like, oh, they're just bringing back all my favorites, because he's also one of the best parts of Ant-Man.
Yes, he is.
I think I sent it to Casey. I was going through my favorites and I found one of my other favorite videos on TikTok right now, which is a clip from the horror movie Sleepaway Camp, and they're like playing baseball and wearing like crop tops and short shorts. It's just a bunch of 80s dudes wearing clothes my fiance wears now. And like they're playing baseball and they say, all right, everyone move in. This guy fucks dogs. And the guy holding the bat goes, eat shit and die. And the other guy who made the comment initially looks back at the guy at bat and goes, eat shit and live, Bill.
Oh man, I only remember that movie for its questionable ending.
Oh my gosh,
that's amazing.
I'll send that one too. Can we pull this up? Hold on.
Oh gosh,
Dan, sometimes I send you TikToks and you don't respond, so I imagine you don't look at them.
I look at most of them.
I need responses.
So wary of TikToks because I know if I actually click on it, then I'm just gonna scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and be like, shit, how did I end up here?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, but the mascot ones you send me are welcome.
Mascot one's always
good. I love the mascot ones.
Dan, I just sent you the freestyle. If there's a way that we can figure out. I know this is last minute and I shouldn't be doing this, but it's very good.
I can make this work, and in the edit, it'll seem seamless. Every time I hit share audio on my computer, I'm just like, I hope nothing else is playing right now. Like, I don't want the whole world knowing I'm watching The Bodyguard for the second time in a week.
And
the baddest on the microphone apparatus is here. When I rock a rhyme off and eyes are dropping a tear. It's so beautiful, it's America's landscapes when this man makes lyrics like the syrups that you pour upon your pancakes. My mandate is to grip minds like a handshake. Spit Orlando Lakes and go skinny dip with the fan base. Over any damn breakbeat, I hastily make pastries tastier than anything that Wolfgang makes. So take notes out of suckers, I make coats, lump a sum like Bubba Gump fishing on lake boats. I take jokes and turn the comedy into drama. I'm bagging on your mama. I'm Jeffrey Dahmer behind you. I'm a rhyme writer. Lock, stock, smoking the ganja. Rebuttals befuddle, leaving a puddle of saliva, sillies. You couldn't handle Randall when I throw my grammar at you. It hit your head and you would think I threw a hammer at you. I point the camera at you like Herb Ritz. Develop it, then use the pictures to pick up bird shit. You're nervous is the impervious wordsmith hanging out in Rafa's new crib. Come with the verses.
Randall Park, everybody.
All right. My favorite part is watching David Biggs in the background, like, all right, I guess he's rapping.
It's a great video.
What is this other video you
sent
me? This
is the other one. So this is the quote from Sleepaway Camp where they're playing baseball.
All right, let's.
No problem, Gino. This guy blows dead dogs. Just lay it in there.
Eat shit and die, Ricky.
Eat shit and live, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, get a little wet.
Oh my God. What you can't see with just the audio is the perfect head tilt of, like, you know, when like a dog hears a noise that it's not expecting and it's just like, what is that? Like, his reaction to eat shit and die is just like a head tilt and like, eat shit and live, moron.
Like way worse. You got to live with this dude.
Yeah. You have to accept your truth after that. That's amazing.
That makes me feel welcome. Anyway, we were talking about welcome, right?
No, we were talking about handshakes and ended up watching Sleepaway Camp. What is the worst handshake?
Oh, the dead fish. The one that has, they have nothing there. It's just like,
yeah. Just loose.
It's just like, yeah, just loose and not really there.
Or
if somebody that I don't know that well, because I'm a black man, they try to do like a cool handshake. They try to do the quick, the snap, the pull in and the release. And when they don't do it, it's weird. It's like I'm gripping for fingers. And it's like, you don't know me like that. Don't give me a handshake like that.
Yeah.
Just a put her there. Leave it at that.
That might be my least favorite style of handshake, because I only ever end up in that loop with people that I know. And it's not like the regular handshake with them. I'm like, why are we still shaking hands now? Like, I thought this would be over already. Like, I'm just trying to follow your lead now. I don't know what I'm doing.
There's a thing with handshakes like that where like people will do the whole pull you in and hand mess that I have never felt comfortable like doing. Like, please just shake my hand. Please. Like, I'm trying to be earnest here. Like, I know that this is how we greet people, but like at a certain point, this is too extravagant. This is much like, just like, I think the worst handshake ever is leaving your set at the open mic and the host comes up, no matter if you did good or bad, and
just to throw it out there.
It's just the awkward, like, thanks. Like, it's not, there's nothing there. It is a ghost handshake.
Now I'll throw it out there. As someone who has hosted an open mic, the worst side of that is having to offer a handshake to someone you just watched tell the worst jokes. Because, like, as an open mic host, you get used to people telling bad jokes.
Yeah.
But it's when you watch someone tell, like, jokes that are horrible.
I got booked on a show. It just came up on my, like, recently, my recently, like my memories or something. And I watched a headliner just try to sleep with people in the crowd, of which there were nine. There were nine people. And half of his jokes were like, if it didn't work, I might fuck you later. Like, that's how he got out of the joke.
Making everybody comfortable.
Yep. And then, all right, your next comic coming up, he's a local guy. Please welcome George Bruderman. No, I don't want to go up anymore. You've made the whole room uncomfortable.
You just have to open with, I'm not trying to have sex with any of you.
Yeah. And to do this in Victoria Freehouse with the lights on.
With the lights on. Why were the lights on?
The lights should never be on up there.
This
is a niche corner, so maybe we should explain for people that don't. Victoria Freehouse is a place that should be lovely.
It's a fancy English bar downstairs.
Yes. Upstairs is a land time forgot.
It's not. Yeah, it's
yeah. Upstairs, the first time I went up there, because I'd been there to the bar downstairs, had some Scotch eggs, had a couple nice lagers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's what this place is. And I heard there was a mic there. And I was like, all right, let's find out. And it is a whole different place upstairs.
Yeah. And it's a place where when you turn the lights off for a comedy show, it is pitch black. And there's a little bit of a comfort in that. There's a little bit of a welcome in that. I don't think it's like, I think because of the way when those guys were running that mic, where like they kind of bring in a spot and that's all you could see was like, when you're on stage, you were in this little bubble of light and that's kind of all you could see. So you just kind of focused in and waited to hear what could be reaped from that room. But it was the biggest problem with that room because you couldn't really see anyone. You couldn't connect with people for the most part on stage. However, with the lights on, it is a considerably worse room.
Yeah.
Like it's so weird to think about like how the darkness with one bubble could be so welcoming for a comic. Even like it was a tougher room to do well in. But it was fun and you could get up, you could go out and do your thing. But with the lights on, it was so much more unwelcoming. And I don't think it had anything to do with like you could see what it looked like. It just something was off.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say my least favorite handshake, and I'm stuck between two, is either the two hand clasp, where you start with one hand and then the second hand comes in and sandwiches your hand.
That depends on who does it.
I have a good example of this kind of handshake, but tell me what the other handshake you don't like is.
It's basically the same thing, but instead of sandwiching your hand, the second hand goes to the forearm. And I think I'm leaning to that one because that's only ever done by dudes who are bigger than me and don't want me to forget that they're bigger than me.
Yeah.
They're like, I dominated your whole body here.
Yeah, my middle finger around your forearm, bitch. Yeah. that is an intimidating handshake. However, if the hand over top of the hand handshake is done well, it is a good handshake.
You need the charisma to pull it off.
This is the person that has that commitment, that charisma. Friend of the show that will never be on the show, Sean Nelms, met my mother for the first time. And I went, Sean, this is my mom. He did that. He did the double hand, shook hand, grabbed the other hand, went, it's so nice to meet you. Let go. And my mom has loved that boy ever since. Ever since. She's like, how is Sean? Is he good? I was like, he has a baby. Unplanned now, mother. He's a delinquent of society. It's because
he shook her hand like that.
Exactly. Now my mom's pregnant. He met
that
girl,
shook her hand like that, and was just pregnant right away.
But Sean does have that charisma with people. I think it's just comes from like where he grew up in Northeast Philly. Like he just is able to do that. He's good like that. I've never watched my mother like get flustered by a 30-year-old man, but she was like, oh my God.
That is a weird thing. The first time you see your mom swoon.
Yeah. My mom swooned. Mom's been married twice and she swooned for Sean Nelms. Miss that man. We'll have him on the show when he releases that TV series he put me in.
And yeah. We've been teasing it for a year. So
it was fun. I got to go up to the Poconos and make fun of people. Like my whole job on that show was to write awful insults about people and then just say them to their face.
Beautiful.
I told a bunch of soccer dorks to get skull fucked, soccer boy, and it was the greatest.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. That is amazing. Yes. All right, you ready to take a break?
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more Keen.
Hey, I'm Danny.
I'm John.
We host Blanket and Covers, the show where we cover the covers.
Have you ever thought about trying to find every single version of Angel of the Morning or Careless Whispers?
That's an us thing, I think.
Yeah. If that's something that you think you would be into, I think you should definitely check out our show. We think that by listening to every version of a song that has ever been done can like gain something new.
Yeah, each week we do a deep dive through a band's catalog or one specific song. Season one is out there now. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Hey everybody, Danny here with plugs. You can see Keen as part of the N Crowd. He also just joined Comedy Sports. He's part of the O Snap, an MCU podcast. He also has Locking Up, a black wrestling podcast. And he's going to be on the Satoyo album recording at Helium on February 16th. Get tickets for that. George and I are at Feel Feelings Pod on all the platforms. Feel free to reach out. Go make sure you subscribe to the show. You rate the show, share the show, let everybody know. As you hear on the episode a couple times, this is episode 99. We got big stuff coming for 100. It's going to be a really exciting episode. We would love it if you could share it out and let everybody know we're up to something really cool. On the Wasted Robot side, I just want to give a quick mention to Mike Brooks's record. His birthday just passed, which just so happens to be the anniversary of his album. Never a bad time to listen to that one. It is a fantastic album. And I think that's it for the week. Back to the show.
It is good, though. Like, why is it good?
It's, I don't know. Because the same people.
We're back. I want to talk about Fiji water.
Fiji water is great, but the people that run it are terrible.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's a whole dollop episode about it. It's really put me off on the whole thing. Now I just drink from the sink.
I mean, that's who I am. I'm a sink person. But when I get to drink water that is somehow better, how is it better? Like, it's water.
Yeah, it's better water, and it's ravaged a tropical island that has been.
My aunt, whenever she comes in, she asked for like water. I asked like, do you want like from the fridge or whatever? And she said, no, I'll drink the spigot. And whatever she drinks or whatever, she's like, you can taste the school. And I'm like, all right, that's that's nasty. All right.
We were talking about it a little earlier. Casey's first sprint training was the day of we're recording this episode, and I had to get up because like something was wrong with my bike, and I looked down to go get some water, and I didn't have any water on. Like, I forgot my water bottle.
Oh no.
So I got off the bike. You have to unclip yourself on spin bikes. And
I forgot about that step. Yeah. You were like locked in.
Yeah. You're locked in. So I have to unclip, and I'm trying to like hide in the darkness to get out, and I'm looking around, I'm trying to find just like a cup for water. I thought all of a sudden her boss, who's very sweet, walked out and was like, are you okay? Because all they saw was this like bald-headed drunk Muppet just kind of going from window to window looking lost and circling. And then she like grabbed a water bottle and was like, here, just drink out of this. You're fine. Are you sure you're okay? I was like, yeah, I just wanted water. Like, I'm not going to puke or anything. And then when I went back in, Casey at the end of the class was like, we thought you were going to throw up. And I was like, it's 10 minutes into the class. If I throw up 10 minutes into the class.
That's how fit they think you are.
Yeah, they're like,
I don't know if he knows how to ride a bike.
I don't actually, but as long as I'm stationary, I'm good.
Yeah. If they lock me in, I don't have a choice but to ride it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's kind of why I feel okay with it.
So yeah, what makes you feel welcome though? Were you welcomed by this new spin experience?
You know what? I will say, and it was going to be something I brought up. It's in a, I don't know if I should say the name of it because I don't know. They're not paying us. But they're a gym type business that you spend more than your $10 Planet Fitness membership to be in. So the couple bathrooms, when you walk in, they have like Dove for men spray on deodorant and sanitary napkins and tampons for the ladies. And like you walk in and it's like a nice bathroom spread that changed my whole life. I'm like, I'm stealing things from it now.
I've only ever seen that in like the two fancy bars I've ever been to.
Yeah, no, it's this, they have like a whole spread and they leave it out. It's very welcoming. It's very welcoming to know like, okay, after a spin class where I'm just soaked in this soup in like compression pants. I can go and kind of spray down like eighth grade gym class and get a little bit of myself back. But
I like that from like the corporate mentality standpoint of things too, of like, I don't want these people leaving here like stinky and uncomfortable. So like, mm-hmm. if I give them this stuff, they'll
and their showers and stuff and like shower gel in there, like everything is kind of there for you to use. And it's stuff that like, you know, I didn't growing up as a single man trying to get women to come over. Do you think like, I'm not saying that like I would use this to manipulate the situation, but I would have felt a lot better knowing like, hey, come over. This is a safe space. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. There's tampons underneath the sink. Like that is such a nice thing for women to have that I don't think they have everywhere. And that is such a welcoming sight as a man to walk into the bathroom and be like, there's tampons here.
Did you have tampons at your bathroom? In your bathroom?
When I lived with my sister, I did. And I'd be like, yes. These are for guests.
I do feel like there is a line there of like, I'm out at a place that is taking care of me versus I went to a dude's house and he just had tampons.
I live on a houseboat, all right? We get leaks sometimes.
it's a quick fix, but it works.
Yeah. I don't know. You shouldn't really make that sound effect talking about tampons, huh? Thump. Oh, we're terrible. That's not
for all welcoming. I know, that's how it sounds.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been around for it. I think friend of the show Elena Kloon used to have a great joke about how like she just wanted to see a dick pee because she's never seen it before. I loved that so much. But more things that make me feel welcome. You know what is a surprising thing that does make me feel welcome is if I go into someone's house and they don't ask me to take the shoes off, like if it's mostly hardwood or something, like I don't want to feel vulnerable. I want the option to feel comfortable. And sometimes when you walk in, you see a bunch of shoes at the end of the stairs or something. You're like, oh man, like I have to now, like there's this social thing.
I might go the other way on that actually.
Yeah.
If I walk into a place and they're like, oh, we're a shoes off house, that makes me feel like, oh, I'm here in the house now. Like,
sure, I could see that.
Because I think about it, we're like, when I get home from work and I have like podcast stuff to do, I don't take my shoes off. Because that, like, if I take my shoes off, that means work's over, I'm done working. So like, I sit here in my work clothes, straight from work, one job to the other, basically. But like when I take my shoes off, that's when I get comfortable. That's when I get looser and just kind of flow into a space kind of thing.
I've become a fan now of like house slippers.
Ooh,
like I just got some.
It's necessary. Yeah. You have to. Yeah.
I got some good socks for Christmas that are just for that purpose.
It's just a carryover where like the slippers that I would wear to walk the dog in the morning from last Christmas that have been replaced this Christmas, they become the house slippers that can kind of just walk around in.
I like a slipper hierarchy.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy to it. And then those will be brought to like my in-laws' house. So this way, like it's just, they're just transferring. It's like the couch that moves to the basement. It's just once you get a new couch, basement couch. That's a specific thing for people that grew up in the suburbs. But Keen, you were going to prove my point that shoes on as an option is correct. Please elaborate.
I say this because it goes back to feeling welcome. If you come in and you see all the shoes there and they kind of can sense you feeling uncomfortable, and they're like, oh, you're okay, don't worry about it. They're like, you're fine, you're welcome here.
That is best case scenario for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. But when they be like, "Oh yeah, get your dirty ass shoes off. Don't. Yeah. You ain't tracking nothing in my house." So yeah, that doesn't make me feel. I'm like, "Oh shit, okay. Sure. I'm sorry." So yeah,
I'll wait outside.
Yeah, you know, no worries.
I think there is a. I did just have my next drink delivered to me for the listeners wondering why there was a pause there.
Hi Meg.
But you mentioned the hardwood part of it. I think what I was picturing when I said the opposite point was carpets.
Oh yeah.
They're like,
and that is,
I feel like I should never have to take my shoes off on a hardwood floor because that is the easiest thing to clean. You just wipe it up. Like cleaning a carpet of a muddy footprint is annoying.
Oh my God. I had a kid I used to hang out with in like middle school and high school. You'd go into his house. He would tell you to take his shoes off. The entire house was tile. Like wall to wall tile. You know how uncomfortable it is to sock feet on tile? You feel the gaps in between everything where the grout is. It's gross.
You know,
gross.
I don't love the way you're describing it, but the opportunity to run and slide in socked feet is something I love it. the risky business slide where like you catch your momentum and just stand straight up again. I love it.
I'd fall down. Dan, what makes you feel welcome?
You know, nothing.
Nothing. It was unwelcome. Yeah. Every time you got into a house, like, no, not you. You fucking social vampire. Get the fuck out of here.
It could be nothing but smiling faces and warm greetings. And I'm like, I don't think they want me.
I don't trust you.
Something doesn't add up. Why would you want me here?
Yeah, I've been there.
But no, I think it's more that kind of, I feel like it is a drunk answer to say like an aura kind of thing, but like it's when you walk into a place and you just feel acknowledged that like people are putting out the aura of like, no, we want you here. Like,
yeah.
And it could be as simple as like a handshake or like even just like saying hello and like catching me up in the conversation that was happening when I got there, like just like bringing you into what's already happening.
Yeah.
Cause like there's so many times where I go to places and they're just like, oh, cool, you're here. And then just go back to what they were doing. And
you mean how like you showed up to my engagement party and I pawned you off, Keen.
That was wonderful though.
I invited Dan to my engagement party. He showed up later, but that's fine. And I was in like DEFCON 1, or what's the most severe? DEFCON 5, DEFCON 1? One is worse.
The big one. Is bad.
I think one is bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
DEFCON more. I don't know.
Yeah. DEFCON. DEFCON worse. I was kind of fielding, like running around, kind of schmoozing for a second, running to the next person, schmoozing for a second. My parents, like my dad and my mom, who are separated, hadn't seen each other in about 15 years, and they were coming and like seeing each other. So I'm like, I'm freaking out about that. Where I'm like, do I keep separated? Do they talk to each other? How do I make everyone feel like they're wanted and evil? Like just losing my mind. And then Dan shows up. Hi. Yep. So I just brought him over to my family's table that they were all sitting at, sat him down and went, Mom, you know that thing I do that you don't understand? Not comedy, the podcast. This is the guy I do it with. And I left. And I didn't talk to Dan for 3 hours.
Honestly, it was great. And Not just because I get along really well with adults, which is a weird thing to say because I'm 35, but it was the fact you gave me a tour, you showed me where everything that I needed to know was,
yeah,
and then just like left me with a task, and I was like, I can handle all of this. And like I know, especially because like I know where the drinks and the bathroom are, that like I know already now the excuses, if I need to make them, of where I'm going if I get up from here. They're like, I'm not trapped here if I felt trapped.
I wanted you to feel welcome, but I think you saw it in my eyes. I hope you did. And I hope you understand that I wasn't there. I don't remember that party.
Yeah, I was amazed with how quickly you responded to me when I showed up. When I walked in the gate and there was that many people and that many things and like, so many specific different relationships happening that it was like, oh wow, he responded pretty quick.
My fiance, her family's very Italian, so it's just like people on people on people and friendly. And oh my God, her uncle is a wedding DJ and just brought all his stuff and was blasting
that was pretty
like
sick.
The fucking Grease remix and Taylor Dane until 12 o'clock in the morning.
You know something I love, and this is a little off topic, I guess, but an uplit tree. And I walked in and this dude had that going with like a disco changing light ball going on. And I was like, I like it here. This is
shout
cool.
out. Shout out to DJ Uncle Ron. DJ Uncle Ron is
great. DJ name.
Listen, I will. I what you were talking about, Dan, like kind of the vibe and the aura of a place when you walk in, be welcome. I experienced this last night and it was a weird thing because it felt like I shouldn't, but it was great. Went to go pick up Chinese food. And I'm sure this is already a joke already, but I've never been to a new Chinese takeout place. They've always been from 1979 to 1992, and then they stopped making them. So it's the kind of parquet tile, like old McDonald's floor, right? Red marble tile stuff kind of pull up on the walls. Not the cleanest place, but there never are. Felt so welcome. Food wasn't ready yet. They were like, oh, just please, you know, you can have a seat for a minute. We'll get it right out to you. No problem. Just felt very warm. I started looking up because I left my phone in the car. I started looking up at the like all the broken menu lights. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's less like the pictures of them. Ever take a good look at what those pictures are? Because it's hysterical to me. But I felt so warm and welcome there. Like, the vibe was right.
I always wonder with those if those pictures ever looked like the food actually looks, because by the time I'm seeing them, they're faded and you're seeing like the kind of remnants of the outline of the food. And I'm like,
now do yourself a favor, go to your local Chinese spot. I think a bunch of them have this. I tried to look it up online. I couldn't find a ton of pictures, but every once in a while you'd catch a glimpse of them. Look at the detail of the photos of like the mushu pork or like the half fried chicken with fried rice. It is plated on a beautiful piece of China.
Oh yeah.
And then take a look around. Flowers. There are like two long stemmed roses next to some wontons.
There was one most
romantic meal you've ever seen.
I'm blanking on where I lived when this was the place I would go to, but like, actually, it might have just been when I was working. So I feel like it might have been in Pottstown, but like, it was just all of these like very well posed Chinese dishes, and then everything was just surrounded by cherry blossoms.
Yeah, like they pose it like what I imagine their soap operas look like in China. Like, I feel like you could film part of it and then pan down to the table and it would just be like a menu item. And then that's the screen grab that they took for every restaurant in America. But it was so welcoming to walk into this place of this old mid 80s, early 90s tile parquet floor, kind of like all these blacked out kind of punched out menu items up top, and I never felt more comfortable in my life of just like, this is where it's at. All I'm doing is waiting for food. There's like a empty crunched up Coke can in the corner that's probably been there for 3 weeks. Felt so at home.
You know, I just had that this morning. There's a deli on the corner, and
you went in there to see if they sold liquor.
Yep. I'm more than stocked on liquor. I'm okay. But it was like the first time I've ever been in there, which is wild to me because I've lived on the same block for 2.5 years now. But like, it was the first time I ever went in there. And the second I walked in the door, it was two people behind the counter and two customers. Everybody just turned and said hello.
Yeah.
And went back to their conversation and were like inviting me into their conversation. I was there just to get like a couple like deli meats, and I was there for probably 20 minutes just chatting with people. And like the part of it was, as soon as they said hello and went back to their conversation and they were like joking and laughing with each other, I knew right away that I could also make a joke, and did. And I was like, all right, cool. I love this place.
There was a sandwich shop next to my house in Philly for a while that I would go to all the time. And it was that same sort of vibe where you like walk in, they're shooting the shit. I'm like, what the fuck do you want? Kind of thing. But in a friendly South Philadelphia sort of way.
This place, I mean, through conversation, having been there longer than I planned, found out that I do not agree with them on anything politically. but did not leave feeling like I'm not going to go back there, that they upset me in any sort of way. I was like, no, I'm just going to go back and have these conversations with these people more. Like, they're good people. We don't have to agree. It's great.
Yeah, I'm trying that with someone that I work with right now. He just very quietly turned on his radio, and it was just every new Kid Rock song that's come out in the last 3 years. And I was like, oh, don't say anything, George. It's a new job. Just sit and dig it.
I do want to say that that middle finger rocket launching at the end of that new video is funny as hell. I don't know if it's done with the irony that I'm taking it to be, but it is funny as hell.
Fair. Should we ask what the people on the internet said?
Yeah, real quick before we do that, I realized the thing that does make me feel the most welcome is getting a tour when I walk into a place.
Yeah, I did that for you. I made you feel welcome. Yeah,
it was talking that out that I was like, that's what made me feel welcome. Is that happening? Go ahead.
Is that why you go to the Revolutionary War Museum all the time? Because Seamus will just give you a tour.
I'm just tour. I'm just welcome into the 1770s.
And this is the tree they hid the Charter Oak in.
But yeah, like the fact that somebody will stop what they're doing at a party and like show you around. It's like, no, they were also at a party and they dropped everything to be like, here's where you are. And then like, even if they just go right back to what they were doing, like, I still feel like, no, I'm here now. I'm good. I feel like I can just be myself in this place now that I know what this place is.
Yeah. I guess what you're saying is kind of like feeling welcome is making you comfortable. It seems like that's the kind of the trend for all of
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. All right. Let's see if anyone agreed.
Let's see. First one we got, if they have a good bathroom.
That's John Deary.
It is John Deary. Yeah.
And that man's got worse IBS than anyone I've ever met. Where's the bathroom is usually the first question.
I didn't have enough time to ask follow-up questions because I was very interested in what defines a good bathroom. Like, what do you look for? But I'll ask you guys, what do you think defines a good bathroom?
A comfortable seat.
Comfortable seat. I recently installed a bidet on my toilet. It's very nice, and it's been great for guests to be like hearing them giggle in the other room.
You have a good bathroom then, sir. As long as it's not either like one of those wooden or that the very weirdly cushioned one from like the 80s and the 90s. I hate those.
I don't need that cushion at all.
No. That's just weird. No.
I don't need to feel welcome to the toilet.
I would say for a bathroom, this is above and beyond nice bathroom. But if I walk in and you've you have your own soap dispenser that you've separated soap into, you have taken the time. You didn't just get the soft soap bottle and throw it in the corner. If you have a bar of soap in your bathroom, though, I have some questions. I have some reservations. Is that bad?
I mean, I know it's an old Gary Goldman bit, but I don't trust bars of soap. It might literally be because I saw that Gary Goldman bit when I was in high school, and I'm like, nah, this guy's onto something.
Like, this is going to inform my future from this point forward.
Yeah.
Nah, if you just got like a loose, cracked bar of soap next to your sink, especially if you're like a public place. I've been to a couple bars. They're like, it's just like a bar of Ivory soap next to the sink that's been there for a millennia.
You know, the weird one for me is I don't like walking into a bathroom and seeing into the shower. Like, I feel like the shower curtain should be closed. Like, the only time I need to see the inside of a shower is when I'm in the shower.
Plus, you also like it. If you leave it open, it creates mold buildup.
It does. I mean, there's the other school of thought that you're airing out your shower after you use it and letting the water go somewhere, but that's a illogical argument. That's incorrect. I will fight for this point.
All right. What else would people say?
I don't know if this one's a real answer or a joke answer, but I do believe this person has kids, and they said they have a kids menu.
Okay. I thought we were still talking about bathrooms for a second.
Yes. You walk into the bathroom and they're like, what would your kid like?
They're like the watermelon toothpaste or the bubblegum toothpaste. Ugh. No, that's good. Kids' menu is good.
Bubblegum toothpaste.
Yeah, it's gross, man. I will say kids' menu is good. I have recently rediscovered the joy of getting a Happy Meal from McDonald's. That makes me feel like a mighty kid.
As someone who in my adulthood now, after I turned 35, started, or actually, I guess 34, but started buying toys again. And like, I'm only like one like hungry day from being a guy who has Happy Meals. Like, that's
a Happy Meal, man.
It's a good portion size, though.
It really like, is.
It's a quick snack. That's all you need. Just like,
listen,
if I order a small and it's a cup the size of my head, that's not a small. Like, a kid size is the only true small.
If you want some Appy Slices and you don't want to go track down Cyclops to open up his little bandolier full of Appy Slices, that's a callback. That's a callback from the beginning of the episode.
I'm surprised you remember the beginning, because I forgot we did this.
I that's just an option. They just, I'm sorry, it's not an option. It comes standard. It comes standard in any Happy Meal now. You have
to change it.
Yeah, it's like you get fries, you get Appy Slices, you get a drink, and you get, you know, like enough, just enough. You get just enough Happy Meals, kids meals, kids meal portions. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Who said that? Give him a sticker.
He gets a star for each of his kids. Let's see. We have Smiles.
Smiles. No, I don't trust him.
I was going to say the same thing.
I don't trust him. I don't trust Smiles all the time.
I personally, as people always think I'm mean and angry and stuff, I'm not. I'm just annoyed, which is
Do people really think that? Because I said that in the beginning to be fully ironic, because I've never had that impression.
Dude, for years people called me mean teen. People thought I was always angry or always mad.
Wow.
And I was either tired or just annoyed.
That blows my mind. I've known you for going on 5-6 years now, and at least probably more than that, but like, I've never had that impression.
It's a thing that's out there. But what I used to do growing up, I was the same way. So I would like, before it was known as a resting bitch face, that's what I had. People are like, are you okay? And I'm just like, yeah, why are you? Now I'm not, because you're bothering me. So
I always hate that question. And I love that question when something's actually wrong.
Yeah.
But then that means that it's like probably my friend and they are perceptive. But I hate that question when nothing's wrong, because it instantly puts me in my head of like, what am I putting out in the world?
So whenever like a teacher would ask me that, I developed this bit when I was like in sixth or seventh grade. Whenever they asked me, I'm like, yeah, well, I really don't like to smile. No, go ahead, Keith, you can smile. I'm like, okay. Then I would purposely do like a Joker smile, like as best as I could. Like, I would do some shit like, well, all right, and be like, smile like that, just to creep them out. I'm like, okay, baby, that's all right. You don't have to smile. Thank you. And just walk away.
That's amazing.
Great.
There's a company, they sell like pins and patches and stuff, but they recently put out one where it just kind of looks like your average run-of-the-mill kind of like name tag on like a mechanics shirt style, like the outer rim, white background and the letters, and it just says, I'm not dead, I just look like that. I was like, oh yeah, I'm buying that one.
Let's see. We have a spread, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Do a good charcuterie board, as we call it in this house.
Yes.
The charcuterie.
That's the biggest differences I learned when, like, I started doing stand-up and then I started doing improv. And the biggest differences in those two worlds are the parties.
Mm. Oh,
good. A good stand-up party, a lot of drinks, barely any food. There like might be a few bags of chips or like whatever left. But an improv party, oh my God. I know like three chefs that do improv. It's ridiculous.
I feel like every improv party I've ever been to has been like a potluck, and everybody is participating and like feeding everybody. And it's a lot of like adult role play kind of thing.
Here's the thing with improv parties versus comedy parties, that at least from my experience, let's take Shamu Boogaloo, because we talked about it recently on an episode. That's a stand-up party. You walk in, there's beer, there's no fucking food, but yeah, everyone's there, having a beer, nice but fucking
you probably
time.
Have to bring your own anyway. Yeah.
But you're like actually chatting with people. Fucking Shaner's crying in the corner because Gorn read his tarot cards. Like, it's a brilliant, fun party, but there's no food. Improv party, which I don't think, like, the only real improv person that was there was the aforementioned Sean Nelms, but we went to Sean's place, like, took out like a tray of food that he had or something. I think I ate all his roommates' cookies too, but there was food there. And we actually like started doing games. Like, we were doing scenes for fun. And it was we were up to like 3 o'clock in the morning doing improv games with like seven people just hanging out.
Yeah, you can't do stand-up at a party, so meanwhile, I guess that is the main difference. Yeah.
Friend of the show, Alex Yang, just wants to go home.
I can see Yang being uncomfortable in the corner, smiling, but like smiling through tears, just like, I want to go home. I'm done.
It's 2 a.m., guys.
I feel like that would be my ideal party right up until they ask me to participate, because like, I love being there while people are having fun and just like buying in, but like, I have such a hard time doing it myself that like, when I have to, I just shut down and I'm like, no, you can't make me do anything, can't make me have fun, get out of here.
We were just a little drunk playing improv games, like doing scenes. It's great. It's great. Or as my mother would put it, doing your little skits. You want to do like two more?
Sure. Okay. Let's see. Beverages readily available, even if it's just the free still water at a coffee house, comfortable seating, and a clearly posted Wi-Fi password.
Oh yeah, that's good. I never knew the joys of that until I started dating Casey, my fiance. I play the name. Like going to like her parents' place, and they just on a little chalkboard just says Wi-Fi password and says what it is, written on it, hung up on a wall like it's a piece of art. Fucking. The joy, the like not having to be awkward. I still am awkward, so I'm like, can I join your Wi-Fi? Yeah. But you don't have to ask anybody.
I think that might be the most like modern welcoming thing, because like, so many people hold their Wi-Fi password like precious. They're like, no, you have to ask for me, and you have to ask the right way, and have like these four keys to unlock the door that I tell you to go through. Like, just to have it out there, be like, yeah, like, I know you.
Motherfucker, I can get this for free at McDonald's.
Yeah, you're not just going to sit outside my house and leech my Wi-Fi after you come here. So, like, whatever. You're here for an hour. If you need the Wi-Fi, use it.
Yeah. Just crazy. Okay. And lastly.
Now, last one. I know it's kind of a joke, but I do love it. Everybody does an opening number.
That's an improv party.
That. Yeah. That's an improv party.
every time the doorbell rings, everybody's attention shifts to the door and they have to present themselves.
I just like the idea of someone walks into the party and it's just the two women from Whose Line that play guitar and piano. And you just have to like just do Irish drinking song until
I like that, especially because I just picture them walking in and just being like, ragtime, and then they have to do a ragtime. They don't get to pick their genre, they just get whatever's thrown at them.
And if you do it enough and there's a mirror in the house and you do it into the mirror three times, Wayne Brady will appear.
Yeah, eventually you get to watch Wayne Brady on The Masked Singer, season 2 champion.
Hate that you love that show.
I've made a point on Blanket and Covers that every time somebody who's on The Masked Singer comes up, I just mention them as their person from The Masked Singer.
All right. Well, I hope that this episode was very welcoming. Heen, I hope that you felt welcomed into the feelings world. Thank you for sharing your feelings. Thank you for feeling feelings. I don't know what this bit is. I usually don't end the show like this.
No, damn. Normally we just chat for a second and go out of it. But yeah, Keen, I'm so happy we got you in our first 100. It took longer than it should have, but I'm so happy it finally happened. You're the best. And everybody will be back for episode 100 next week, and it's going to be so cool. I'm so excited. We have some really fun stuff planned. So come back next week for episode 100. Goodbye.
See you.
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Getz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Feel Feelings Pod, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/feelfeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
Lord, such a professional show!
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.